Say after me, I take root inward and I bear fruit upward. So last week, we spoke about emergence using the analogy of a butterfly. Please, I encourage you, go and get... Were you blessed last week?
Yes,
go back, listen to it again and again. We spoke about emergence using the analogy of a butterfly and the process of metamorphosis where the caterpillar is broken down into a liquid soup that reveals the blueprint of the butterfly. And that there is a reformation of the chemicals in that liquid that cause it to emerge. And we explained that metamorphosis works in our lives through process, the dealings of God. Then we talked about pain and pressure. We talked about progress and growth and prevailing prayers. Amen. Amen. However, today, I want to share something which I can call a solemn sermon. Something very solemn, something to think about. It is something that when you listen to, please, I beg you. In fact, all the teachings in this month, listen to them. Amen. I want to kick off from where we stopped last week. And the Lord is leading me to use the analogy of a seed today. A seed and germination. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That was John chapter 12 from verse 24. Remember last week, right? And so we want to dovetail from there. And I've titled today's sermon, Deep Roots. Glory. In bracket, you can put the preparations. Proverbs chapter 16 from verse 1. Let me tell you something. This teaching will answer why, in spite of prayer and prophecy, in spite of many things we say in Christianese and all of that, some people don't still emerge. This teaching will answer it. Oh, God. If I have my way, I will pack the whole of Abuja to this place. Not because we just want a big church. God knows my heart. But because the things God has given us to say. If you, those of you who have been coming, you know what I'm talking about, right? Those are not things. God. I'm serious. I'm very serious. So, Proverbs 16 verse 1, it says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Can we read this verse together? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So that means there is a preparation in man. And there is a response from God. And God's response is to your preparation. Are you with me? God's response is to your preparation. So quickly, what are roots? Roots are the invisible parts of a plant, a thing, or a system that is responsible for the seen or visible part. Roots are the invisible parts of a plant, a thing, or a system that is responsible for the seen or visible part. So when a seed is planted, it germinates and grows into a plant. And this process of germination involves the seed taking in water and oxygen and actually dying, breaking into pieces. And the embryo inside the seed absorbs this water and oxygen and begins to grow into a root and into a shoot. Please pay attention. You know, the Bible says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, the invisible. And so, in the same school of thought, these roots are the invisible parts of a thing. And that's why we've called this teaching deep roots. Those invisible preparations that you must make with God and in yourself in order so that you can sprout up, emerge out of the soil of destiny. Amen. You know, like we're trying to explain before the Lord had to do what he had to do. That when a seed is planted, after it breaks open, after it dies, and the embryo begins to grow, it must get roots first before it gets a shoot.
There must be a root before a shoot. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so that's why we've called it deep roots. And so, have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, for the righteous shall grow like a palm tree? Have we seen that verse before? Psalm 92 from verse 12, although I like to read from verse 9. That's one of my best books in the book of Psalm. Psalm 92 from verse 9. Let's start from verse 9 because it's sweet from there. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. For lo, my enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Glory! But my horn! Am I in the right place? But my horn shall thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11. My eyes shall see my desire on my enemies. Okay, let's leave enemies alone. Verse 12. Verse 12. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. I went to read a little bit about the palm tree. And there's so much to say about the palm tree, but let me start with just the roots or focus on just the roots. So they said that the roots of a palm tree differ based on the species. Are you with me? That not all palm trees have the same roots. And that is a message on its own. That means the kind of roots you are building is a picture of where you are going to. Are you with me? They said that the Pimji palm tree has its roots 2 feet deep. Are you with me? But the royal palm tree has its feet 10 feet deep. Like times 5. The tallest building in the world is the Burj Khalifa. The foundation of the Burj Khalifa is almost as high as a 10-story building. Did you hear what I said? That means it's like there is a building under to carry that level of height. Are you with me? But there is something else I read about the palm tree that really got my attention. Let me read this one. They said palm roots grow from a central point under the stem called the root initiation zone. They continue to grow and replace old roots throughout the lifetime of the tree. That means the palm tree is committed to ensuring that its root is fresher and deeper all through its life. Are you following what I'm saying? Say after me, deep roots. So quickly, what are roots for? Or what are the functions of roots? Number one, for anchorage. For anchorage. What is an anchor? An anchor is gotten from the register of ships. They use it to hold a ship from swaying anywhere and everywhere during a storm. So they just anchor it there. And so it's for anchorage. To keep the plant steady. To keep the plant standing. You know, winds will come and blow, and there are some plants that will be rooted out. Have you seen those kind of fierce winds? But there are some plants. Hey, there are some palm trees. You cannot bring them out. Are you with me? Yes, have you gone to your village before and they'll tell you that this tree has been here since your great-great grandfather? And you will see the tree there. Try and bring it out. No, just try. It may be your own waste that may be unplugged. Praise the Lord. And like I was saying earlier on, the foundation of a thing is the future of it, is the blueprint of its future. There is a kind of foundation you will build. You cannot build a 10-story building on it. It must be a bungalow. It must be bungalow. Are you with me? So already the way you are arranging your roots will tell us how your future will be. Are you with me? We can look at your roots and know what you can carry. We can look at your roots and know where you are going to.
As the morning tells the day, so does the roots tell the future. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You know, roots and foundations, they have a relationship. The Bible says in verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That means the house was built, it emerged, but it was a false emergence. Any emergence you have without the right root, it's coming down. That was a statement, not a prayer. But that's a prayer, collected as a prayer. It's coming down in Jesus' name. You know, I cannot forget something. I was trying to do something. I've forgotten what I was trying to do. The man that taught me how to play the piano, many years ago, this year will actually make it 20 years. We're talking and he just looked at me and said, if you jump up, you will come down. But if you grow up, you will stay up. Did you hear what I just said? For anchorage, I want to ask you, do you really have anchors in your life? Do you really have those things that can hold you in the times of winds and storms? Do you have deep roots? I know we want to emerge. People want to come out. See, as you are coming out, for every level of emergence, there are new winds and storms. Are you following me? There are winds and storms at every level. I wish I could say some things, but we are out of time, so I would just be rushing. How much anchor do you have? What holds you in place when there are storms and winds? You know, even David, when you read the book of Psalms, you will see the way he talks. You can know what his anchors were. You can know the things that hold him. He will say, how shall a man keep his way pure? What will hold me when temptation comes? You will see him say in Psalm 119 from verse 9. He says, wherewith thou shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto unto thy word. He says, my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. You will see him say in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That means sin can come, but if I have the word of God in me, it is an anchor. You know, when it comes to the issue of sin and temptations, people depend too much on their willpower. But you see, your willpower is not strong enough for certain levels. I'm telling you, there are things that you need a force so strong, that even in the midst of darkness all around, it is so strong, you cannot but stick to it. You cannot but stick to your convictions. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart. So we can see, he has the word of God in his heart as an anchor. Ask your neighbor, what is your anchor? Then reply to him, the word of God is my anchor. The word of God is my anchor. Amen. Amen. Number two, roots are for absorbing water and mineral nutrients. Ask your neighbor, how many nutrients have you absorbed? How much nutrients have you absorbed? I know we are using plants, but this thing really applies to us. I'm telling you. The two people can have the same challenge. One will scatter, like the life will just scatter. Another one will come out stronger. The same hot water that destroys some things hardens egg. So it's not about what is coming against you, it's about who you are. Hi, Jesus. What do you have? What roots do you really have inside you? You can say, I am this, I have this. This is what I'm carrying. Let pressure come. We'll know what is inside. You know, there was a funny story I heard. A doctor gave this story. A man came for injection. They said, have you eaten? He said, yes. They said, what did you eat? He looked at everybody there. He looked at everybody. So he didn't want to say what he has truly eaten. Or maybe if he said the truth, they would have looked at him and said, ah, how will you eat by in the morning? He said, I ate cornflakes, sausages, omelette, and cereals. I said, okay, you have eaten. You can take the injection. As they give him the injection, he shouted, ah! And vomited lumps of ever came out. And they looked at him like this. You can say, oh, I am this, I am that. Let trial come. We will know how much your roots are. We will know what is inside. Are you with me? So roots are for absorbing water and nutrients. Also, number three, roots are for storage. Are for storage. Ah, my God. See, I can so relate with this. You need enough depth inside. Have you seen people who, I've seen this a lot with cooks, or what they can call chefs. Is that the correct pronunciation, chefs? Chef. Uh-huh. And engineers. When there is a tight, they're in a tight corner. The way they are improvising, you know this one is Sabi. I remember one time, I was on the field, we're walking, and then we had what you can call the Daniel Rolofi's plate broke out or blew out. And it's a very, very complex situation where gas, the thing that we are using to measure the gas, has bent and has blocked the gas pipe. It can cause an explosion. So we had to shut down the flow of oil. We had to tell the client that we can't continue operation now. And we're trying to fix that thing. We used all the spanners, all the things. We couldn't lose it. We couldn't bring it. After we even tried to lose one or two knots, you know, just not as big as your hand, though. After we lose one or two, throughout the whole night, we gave up. Then in the morning, one old man came walking like this. The way the man was walking, I thought, will this man be able to do this thing? How can he be walking, staggering with one leg like this? What is he coming to do? Old man like this. This man grabbed that spanner. Now, bent it in a way that we never thought you can bend it. Adjusted another one. Turned another one like this. Pop! The thing came out. Ah! I said, well done, sir. With his old hands like that, he lost everything alone. So, the way he was bringing out ideas, you know that this man has gathered things inside. Are you with me? The way he was bringing out wisdom to maneuver the whole situation. It was obvious those who were engineers because they went to school. And engineers, those who were engineers because they have gathered roots. And the Bible talks about this. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. From verse 3. He says, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, verse 4, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places. Everybody read with me right now. 1, 2, 3, go. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Speed is not always a sign of growth. It may be a sign of shallowness. Speed is not always a proof of growth. Speed may be a sign of shallowness. Look at what we saw. And forthwith they sprung up. They emerged. Because they had no deepness of earth. Hey! My God. That means sometimes, not all the time, sometimes delay can be that you are coming out greater. Yes. Delay can mean that your emergence is stronger. Even as a minister, as a pastor, I know what I'm talking about. Ah, God. There are some things I will say, some people don't understand. When I tell people that, there are some demons we've seen twice. Like you cast out demons, you've seen them twice. I knew how long it took for me to know exactly. How do you know exactly when a spirit has left a person? Before I used to think if you are praying and the person just sleeps or comes out, it took so a time. Yeah, people are laughing, right? Sometimes they can sleep, but your thing is still there. You just like, may I calm down first? So that they don't go bomb, they finish. Praise the Lord. Now, see verse 6, everybody. So this one has sprung up because he had no deepness of earth. Everybody, see verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. Are you seeing this? So a person can be scorched, but with roots, he will not wither away. Are you seeing this? He can go through tough times, but if he has roots, he's not withering away. The sun came up and scorched them, but because they had no roots, they withered away. That means sometimes falling away is not because the challenge is too hard. Falling away is because the person is not rooted enough. Falling away sometimes does not mean the pressure is too much. It may mean that the person's depth is not strong enough. Jump to verse 20. Verse 20, is she talking about it? But Jesus was explaining. He says in verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. See, I read that to say this. A day will come where everything will test you. A day will come. It will come to everybody. And it's not just to test you for the wrong reasons. It's also test you for the right reasons, to reveal you to your destiny. Let me tell you, nobody sells a car without testing it. Do you know that? Yes, sir. No wise person will buy a car. They will do a pressure test on it. Sometimes the pressure test will reveal that you are great. My God. Let me tell you, people say, I want people to see what I'm doing. I'm doing my best. Don't worry. A day will come where the whole world will pause and ask you, what can you offer? The whole world will pause and say, tell us, what can you do? Can you imagine Joseph? A day just came. They brought him before Pharaoh. Okay, you said you can interpret dream. Interpret this dream. And interpret that. And they asked him, what are we going to do? Do you know that for me, I feel that the biggest job of Joseph or the biggest care of Joseph was not even interpreting the dream and telling them what to do. It was, will it happen? If Joseph just said something nice, in 7 years of plenty means 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, and 7 years of plenty never came, they will say, oh God, Joseph, confess. You said... Are you with me? You said that there will be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Where is the 7 years of plenty? Are you getting it? He would have been like a house that was builded but was not on a rock. Are you getting me? You know, I have a lot of tech people around me. I don't know my sons. He called somebody to do a job for him. He can do it, but he's very busy. He couldn't have time to address the whole coding. But he said, I can code, I can do this, I can do that. I can. They not give you the work to do. After 2 months, they regretted they gave you the work. Are you with me? People that gave you the work say, oh my God, why did I fall into the hands of Satan? God. God, I'm looking for the words to express what I'm saying to you, how serious this thing is. Have you seen that verse of the Bible that says, when you want to pray, go to your father which is in secret, and your father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. What we are trying to say is, what do you have in secret that God can reward openly?
What do you have in secret that God can reward openly? What are you doing in the secret? We said the roots are the invisible parts that make for what is visible. Are you with me? If God wants to reward you openly, what will he reward? This is serious. Very, very serious.
Hey, God.
You know, and somebody may say, listen, Pastor David is saying it's true. I need a lot of time to I need to go and learn some things and begin to build myself. I need to build my roots. It will take time. But this year is our year of emergence. Let me tell you something. Thank God the Bible says that the visible things of the Lord help us understand the invisible things. Are you with me? Do you know that it takes 9 months for a child to be born? And a child can live for 100 years. That means in every 9 month cycle, you can do something that will change the remaining part of your life. In every 9 months, you can say in the next 9 months, I'm going to focus on this part of my life and change. And you will change. By the time they see you next year, a new version of you has come out. Every 9 months, you can create your life in such a way that a brand new you has been formed. But will you? So, Pastor, where do I begin building my roots from? Psalm 78 from verse 70 to 72. Psalm 78. Thank you, Jesus. You know, for me, this was a very solemn sermon. I'm trying to make it loud enough so that some of you people will not sleep. But for me, I wish I could just be reading it like this because it was touching me. Your roots. Do you really have the roots? Even as a minister, I remember when we went for youth service. One day we went to a crusade ground where I was playing the keyboard, so I couldn't leave the keyboard immediately. As we were playing the keyboard and people were just praying in the crusade ground, we're just praying. One girl from the village just came out.
People are doing crusade.
She just like this and started laughing. Look at, she was mocking the crusade on the crusade ground. So, God, forgive me. Do this to the Lord, forgive me. One guy came with 6 packs, like very hefty. Who are you? I challenge you in the name of Jesus. The girl looked at him. Come out and continue laughing. He laid down so she removed his hand. Remove your hand. Shift. Another one came. You are insulting us here. And that's her 5 prayer words with her. This one, he pulled his shirt. I felt like telling him, Ace, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. From my piano, I went and looked, what are you doing there? You're like, you're removing shirts with muscles. See, big muscles. Okay, you want to blow the guy and the demon. The demon may beat you. And that's how they just kept on going. Then I had a friend that we used to pray together. Very short boy. Damn me. If I'm short, I'm taller than him. That guy. God. But we pray. As the generation was going, Tammy just went and touched her head. Bam. And she just fell. From where I was playing like this, Jesus must be your honored. I said, God has saved us today. This girl would have scattered this crusade for us. After the meeting, it was obvious the one that had packs without spiritual pack. He had been doing gym in the physical, but there was nothing in the spiritual. Psalm 78 from verse 70. He says, the Bible says, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, as it were he emerged. Are you with me? From following the always great with young. Sorry, it always makes me laugh when I read in King James. Away. Sorry. From following the heir was great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. Everybody read verse 72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So there was a training that David had in his heart, and there was a training that David had with his hand. What does that tell you? I want to talk about two kinds of roots you must build. Your spiritual roots and your skillful roots. Are you following this? Your spiritual roots, number one. And then your roots of skill, or you can put your mental roots.
Tell your neighbor, don't be tired. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your spiritual roots. You know, the Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I want to ask you, do you have a secret place? Do you have a walk with God? Like, apart from us coming to service like this, do you have a time in your life, in your house, or when you are not in church, where you open your Bible and read? Where you kneel down and pray? If you don't have it, there is a problem. Do you have a spiritual root? Do you have a walk with God? This year, you have to fight for it. Do you know how to hear God and obey God? Do you know what it means when, you know, while I was in Port Harcourt yesterday, one of my spiritual sons was telling me, he says, the Lord told me, the Lord pressed it on me to leave that job. Job somebody is trying to get, he said, the Lord, it was so strong. He said, it was so strong, I could not deny it for 6 months. God was saying this thing. Some people, they don't even know if in their mind self they talk anything, nothing. Anywhere belly is, that way. Then when they now want to make a serious decision, that's when, oh my God, they will now write Jude, Jeremiah, Joshua, John, Lord, which of them is my husband? They will now fold the paper. They will now come and give me. I've been there before as a pastor. One day, somebody came to see me. A lady, beautiful woman, just came and just squeezed 4 papers and dropped. Say, pastor, pick one. I say, I say, what is that? She said, pastor, please, just pick one. Pick one. I said, before we pick one, let's know what I'm picking. Say, pastor, just pick one. I said, I will not enter this thing. I opened them and saw names. She was like, that all of them are nice. All of them are good. All of them are very spiritual. I say, that's the problem. The Bible says, you shall not be led by the sight of your eyes or the hearing of your ears. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So God can give you something, an evidence in the spirit. Are you with me? And you walk on and say, okay, this is what God is saying. Thank God, next month is February. We'll talk about this love matter. This matter. Now, I'm not saying if you just dream about a guy as your husband, or it may not be. It does not mean you just dream or you just have like 4 dreams. It may be, Satan may be, in fact, it may be you're thinking too much. Praise the Lord. I have to put that balance there. For someone say, yes, that's the confirmation I need. Lord, I dreamt about them last night. That's the confirmation. No, no, no. You must know how to rightly divide. What is God actually saying? Are you with me? Your spiritual roots. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to show you something. Still under spiritual roots. And I will go to the final one and close from there. Psalm 92, verse 12. Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13. It says, everybody read verse 13. Read it again. Do you notice anything? One place is house. Another place is courts. In those days, the king's house was separated from the king's court. The king's court is the place where the major decisions of the king are made. The king's court is where the decisions of the king. That's why Esther, Queen Esther, even though she could live with her husband in the house, she couldn't just enter into the king's court. She could enter wrongly and she would die. Are you following me? So, to enter the king's court, there is a protocol. He's saying that those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish where God makes decisions. Are you following this? There are many people that they want to flourish in many things that God is doing. When God is up to something great, they want to be part of that plan and flourish in it. No, go and dwell in his house first. Dwell, have a walk with God. Dwell with the Lord where? Are you with me? There are some miracles that will come by prayer in terms of, oh, a pastor says receive, receive, oh, it will happen. And there are some miracles that will come because you walked with God. There are some miracles that will come. There are things that will happen in your life simply because you are planted in the house of the Lord. So after me, I'll be planted this year. I'll be planted this year. I will not be far from my spiritual life this year. I will not be far from spiritual growth this year. Amen. Number two, like I said earlier on, the roots of skill, mental roots. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. Proverbs 12, verse 27. Proverbs 12, verse 27. Please, you need this one. You need the both of them to combine them. Everybody read. 1, 2, 3, go. The lazy man, the slothful man, roasted not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of the diligent man. That means the slothful man in this situation was not exactly somebody that could not do anything. No. It was somebody who was not willing to do extra. And it is that extra that turns ordinary to extraordinary. See, he actually went for hunting and got something in hunting, but he did not roast it. They have the idea, but the willingness to transform that idea into a product that can be used, they are just tired. They don't want to stretch themselves beyond a certain point. There are people like that. And as long as you are like that, the Bible says you are a slothful man. He will not roast it and it may stay there and spoil. And it will look like he did not do anything. That's the problem. That's why you must learn to do the extra. Because if you don't do extra, even the little work, you know, I used to say something, that hard work doesn't just produce good products. It preserves the labors of the past. There are some labor you must labor today to make sure that your labor of yesterday is not wasted. Did you get what I said? If you don't learn to push yourself extra, you may make nonsense all the work you have been doing before. Tell yourself this year. Say it, this year, I refuse to be lazy. I will train my mind. I will train myself. Remember, in 9 months, you can recreate. Let me tell you something you may not have heard. Nobody will emerge without something valuable to offer. Do you know that? Check the Bible. Everyone that he met. Joseph, can you interpret the dream? David, can you kill this Goliath? Are you seeing the pattern? What can you offer? Jephthah, can you help us fight? I want to say something. I pray it will not be too deep for you. Have you ever thought about the story of David and Goliath? And you just thought that, oh, David just carried a catapult like this. And said, oh, you Goliath. Pow! And I thought that was what happened. And God just miraculously just carried the stone. And carried the stone. And boop. And Goliath just died. This is why the Bible says study. I went to restudy that thing. And got into some research. I found out something that you may not have heard. And I found out that the bigger miracle was done long before David came on the scene. That miracle was calculated before David came on that scene to fight at all. The miracle did not start with when David was facing Goliath. The miracle started when they chose Goliath to fight David. Are you ready for this? Let me explain. So, in ancient times, there were three types of warriors. There is what you can call the cavalry. These are warriors on horsebacks, if you watch all these movies. Horsebacks and with swords and all of that. They are warriors that they call infantry. They are warriors, they call them foot soldiers with shields and helmet and swords. They are warriors of close combat. Then there is another type called artillery. Those ones are projectile warriors. Archers. Those that use the javelin. And very importantly, slingers. Follow me. Remember, David said, you come to me with a shield and a spear. I come to you with a sling and the name of the Lord. People don't know that. David was a warrior. He was a slinger. Now, when I went to do some study about that, they said slinging took many, many years of practice. But when it is perfected, a slinger is a devastating weapon. A slinger. See, they said Irish slingers, when you toss a coin into the air, no matter how high, no matter which mountain you take it from, if they can see it, they will stone it down. They will get it down. And sometimes it can be, they can revolve that stone to come at a speed of 34 meters per second. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? 34 meters per second. In fact, when reading, I found out that the Roman army, they had special equipment to remove stones from the body of the soldiers that were killed by slingers. Meaning, the stones will break their skull and enter and sink inside. Some parts of their bones, the stones will enter inside and stay. They had to use special tongs to bring out the stone. That's how a slinger was, how devastating a slinger was. And now, so God had been training David in the wilderness all these years. And that was how he killed the lion and the bear. Yes. Because I'm sure you wondered, David was struggling to use a sword when Saul was talking to him. How come he killed a lion and a bear without a sword? He was a slinger. Are you following this? So God was perfecting him in the bush, preparing him for his day. Ah, my God. And Goliath was on the other hand. I went to study about Goliath. Goliath was a giant of extraordinary size, very high, very big. And if you study the Bible said Goliath came with somebody holding his shield. That already was a sign that Goliath was sick. He had a disease. He couldn't see well. That man with his shield was his guide. But he had an intimidating size. Goliath was expecting that since he's an infantry warrior, they will bring somebody who will be on close combat with him. And through that guy, he will be able to get the person down. But God brought a slinger. Follow me. Follow me. I'm going somewhere with this analogy. Follow me. Now, people who are giants, in fact, the tallest man in the world had this particular disease. The tallest man who has ever lived, Robert Wadlow. It is called a benign tumor of the pituitary gland. Oh, Jesus, doctors in the house. Are they doctors here? So, the benign tumor of the pituitary gland actually is the result of an overproduction of the growth hormone. That's why they will be so tall. But at the same time, that hormone that produces that thing to make you grow, it will also make your vision very poor. So guess what? The very thing that made Goliath a giant was his weakness. The very thing that made Goliath the giant was the source of his weakness. So God was banking on David's preparation and the weakness of the person that was chosen to defeat the Philistines. Did you just say what I said? So the testimony began from when they chose a Goliath to fight a David, a perfected slinger with a man who is big and sloppy, who cannot see well, thinking he will fight somebody on close range. God now brought somebody who he has perfected with his sling in the wilderness for a long time. Before he knew what was happening, a slinger scattered his skull. Do you know that the Bible never said that the stone fell out? It sank into it. Sank into his head. Let me tell you, God is counting on your preparation.
There are many things that God is hoping that, okay, if you prepare well, I will bring it to a place where there will be an opening. There will just be a gap, a loophole somewhere, and you will fix it. And that will be your emergence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is counting on your preparation. Can God actually set you up somewhere with the hope that He has perfected you and expect you to deliver? So you will tell yourself, now you see why I said it's a solemn sermon, right? You tell yourself, I will improve. You will tell yourself, I will start reading. Yes. You will pick a skill and learn. You wake up in the morning and say, I will read this book. I charge every one of us, before this year ends, read at least 8 books. 8 books in the line of where you are going to. Where do you see yourself in the future? Go and read. Don't just stay swiping through the phone, doing nothing. Oh, things are hard. Retrain yourself. Start preparing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today's service. We thank you for the time of worship and the encounter we had. And oh God, in this year of divine emergence, we are strengthened to take our roots, our spiritual roots deeper, our mental roots deeper. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Are you blessed?